Well, the morning bunch was wild. Amen. So I want you guys to get wilder as the service goes on. God likes wild people. You know that, don't you? He likes people all sold out, totally and completely to Him. Coming down here, I was really excited in my spirit. I just knew God was going to do something great. Service isn't over yet, so He can do whatever He wants to do, right? God says to tell you He's still on the throne. He hasn't moved and isn't going to move. But He says some of you have moved. You have to get back in line with Him so He can use you the way He wants to. God said He's bringing up the seers with a greater anointing because He needs His seers and His prophets in the house of God at this given time. So if you have the seer anointing, do God a favor and let Him increase it. Amen. As He increases your seer anointing, it will reflect into the body of Christ, and the body of Christ can be changed and rearranged. We'll just let Him have His way, won't we? We're just going to let Him do what He wants to do right now. Because He knows exactly what He wants to do and how He wants to do it. We're just waiting, Lord, for You to show off, right? He's already here. We're just waiting for Him to show off because He said He wants to show off. I can't go any further until He does what He wants to do, guys. So you might as well go ahead and relax and just quit resisting Him and just receive what He has for us. He's saying you need to rejoice. Just rejoice in Him. He's also saying He's releasing a great anointing and don't let it backfire on you. Receive everything He's trying to give to you right now. He's saying if you're going to move into greater anointing that He's bringing across the land, then you're going to have to learn to receive all that He is right now. Don't back up. Just keep moving forward. Just keep receiving. You know, sin robs you of your peace and your joy. And you don't have any power when you yield your members to sin, lust, whatever. You know, God just wants to release you from all that junk tonight. He just wants to take all that out of you right now, where you will have total and complete peace in Him and trust Him with all your heart. Come on, we've been down that in that dry place too long, haven't we? And it's time we, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm not going back into that dry place. I'm just really not. I'm going to teach in holiness tonight. Are you ready for this? We taught on the days of Noah this morning. Tonight we're going to teach in holiness because God is getting people prepared for this great move that He's going to do. And He said in the summer, is about 1 month. It is 1 month away. It's the 21st of June. So you have the next till the 21st of June, I think, to get it together. I hope God gives you that much time. I was talking to Brother Chris Gore today about something, and all of a sudden the power of God just came over me, and I said, you just don't understand. The body of Christ at the Lighthouse Church does not understand what God is getting ready to do. You don't understand the magnitude of what God is getting ready to do. We have to understand the magnitude Not the fact that he's just going to do something, but the magnitude of what he's going to do. It's not going to be just a little trickle in the stream. It's going to be living waters running over, gushing out like a great big waterfall. It's going to be so intense, it's going to vibrate all through this area. God is going to do this thing, whether you want him to or not, whether you're ready or not, he's just going to do it. Don't be one of those standing on the riverbank saying, oh, I wish I'd have got in when God told me to, when the river was running strong and wide. Get in there. And if you're in, don't jump back out again. Stay in there. Let him drown you. He told me a couple years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I can remember, I'm going to hold you underwater till you drown. I said, do it, Lord. Just do it. Yeah, and he's been holding me under the water, believe me. And he's drowned me. And I don't really like water. I did drown 3 different times, and he brought me back. So he knows I really don't like to be drowned. Amen. All right, let's talk about holiness. Holiness precedes power. Always remember that. Holiness precedes power. Many Christians look for shortcuts to the power of God. To try shortcuts is to become at best frustrated, at worst a false teacher or prophet. Listen very carefully. There is tremendous power for us in God, but not without holiness. Holiness precedes power. How many years ago did God tell me to put up that sign? I forgot how many years ago it's been. He's been teaching us holiness ever since. And I'm sad to say, holiness has not yet penetrated the body of Christ. We need to be holy as God is holy if we intend for God to use us in the magnitude that he wants to use us. I can guarantee you a lot in the body of Christ, the older people in the body of Christ, you have been tempted in ways you never thought you'd ever be tempted. Because God is trying to get you out of the holiness realm and get you into the natural realm. But you had to fight. If you're being honest, you had to fight like you've never fought before. You were tempted by things that you thought would never, ever touch you. But here they came, boom-de-boom-de-boom, right? And you had to fight with every fiber of your being to not give in to those temptations. How many times have I said Jesus was tempted in all ways, but he never gave in? I kept telling the devil that over and over and over again. He left. I didn't give in. He left. He might beat at your door, but you don't have to open it. Are you listening here? Do you know that Satan can only do to you what you allow him to do to you? Somebody said, well, I'm being tested of God. No, sometimes, you know, no, sometimes it's your flesh is getting in the way. I know somebody says, my flesh really talks loud. You know, and it has nothing with God. It's just your flesh that you haven't gotten under control yet. Just your flesh that God's been saying, die to your flesh and you won't do it. We need to die to our flesh. We really do. Is it easy? No. Because your flesh has been used to getting its way for a long time. And now you have to battle to get your flesh under control. When John saw Jesus in Matthew 3:13, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. He was saying, Jesus, I don't want to baptize you. You need to baptize me, right? And do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time. For in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody saw a dove lighting on you or a light over your head and then you hear the voice, this is my beloved child and who I am well pleased? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If somebody, you're talking to somebody and they get so hysterical they can't even talk and finally they say, I saw a bright light hanging over your head and this is what I heard God say. We're supposed to be just like Jesus, so what is there to say that would never happen? Let us understand the prophet John the Baptist. According to the scriptures, John was filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. Do you understand that some of us here tonight were baptized with the Holy Spirit in our mother's womb, and when we came out, the Spirit of God was all over us? That is the truth. My mother had 6 children. I was the second one, and she said, "You were different than any one of my children. You were different from the moment you came out, and you're still different." So according to that, I take it that I came out filled with the Holy Spirit. It just wasn't like her other 5 children. And I'm not the only one that did that. I can guarantee you there's some of you in here tonight. You might not know it yet, but God will reveal it to you that you were filled with the Holy Spirit in your mother's womb, and you came out filled with the Spirit of God. And as I look back over my life, I know that's true. Because I was different, and I couldn't do the things other kids did, and I acted different, I talked different. Everything about me was different. I didn't understand it then. And just like you today, you're different. Your emotions aren't like other kids' emotions. And you can't figure out what's going on. It's because you're different. You're set apart for God's glory. And you get all upset because you can't do the things other kids do, and you just carry on like a fool. And what you need to be doing is jumping up and down and screaming and shouting and rejoicing because you are a special child of God. And your nature is totally different than others. If we could only get this in our spirit that we are spirit beings. We once walked with Jesus and God in the heavenly realm. We had conversations with them. The Bible tells us this. And then God sent us down here on assignments. Really and truly, if we're sent down here on assignments, we should all be born with the Spirit on us. There are devil children, you know that, don't you? But I believe none of you are a devil's child. I'm believing every one of you came straight from the throne of grace. And every one of you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. The enemy has kept us bound. The enemy never told us, never allowed us to hear this. And, you know, we just lived our life never knowing what really our purpose was in life. Nobody ever told me I was here on assignment. Did they, you? No preacher ever told me that. They told me to sit down and shut up enough, but never told me I was here on assignment. Why did they do that? Because they didn't know it either. You know, God revealed that to me, and he's revealed it to many other people. You can read about it in all the books they write. You were hand chosen by God in the heavenly realm. You and God had a conversation, and you agreed with God to come down here and fulfill an assignment for him. You know, they say that babies, until they're 3 years old, know Jesus. They see him and everything. Remember the one pastor, his daughter wanted to go in and see their baby? And she said, "Hurry up, quick, tell me, what does he look like? Because I'm forgetting what he looks like." And she was 3 years old. She knew what Jesus looked like until she reached 3. Each one of us did too. And we wonder why some of our kids act different. I don't know how they were born. I don't know if they were born full of the Spirit, or if Satan got a hold of their heel when they came out. But if he did get hold of their heel, what you have to do is free them of that demonic influence. You have to set that little captive free. See, they can't help themselves. They're helpless. You're the one that has to pray. You're the one that has to cast them devils out of them when they act like the devil. Cast them devils out. Set them free. Little Isaiah goes through deliverances quite often because he was born with a demonic realm around about him. So it's my job. Everybody's putting their capes on, so shut the fans off. It's my job to set him free with the power of God. It's your job to set people free with the power of God. All right? Luke 1:15. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." We are also told his coming was in the spirit and power of Elijah. We're still talking about John the Baptist. Luke 1:17 says, he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John the Baptist was a forerunner to get the people prepared for the coming, first coming of Jesus Christ. We are the second John, God told me this, we're the second John the Baptist preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was full of the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. John the Baptist came forth with the power of God on him, and all he ever preached was repentance. So what's the problem with us preaching repentance, pastors, saints of God? What is the problem with us doing that when that's what John the Baptist did? What did Jesus, read about what Jesus first did, repent. And everybody said, oh, you can't preach repentance. Why not? Well, people will leave the church. Let them. Let them. Because they aren't God's children anyhow if they can't repent. It doesn't matter if people like the truth or not. The truth has to be preached. And you guys that are called of God to do the works of God, you have to walk in holiness like John the Baptist was walking in holiness. And then you will have the power and the authority to preach the word of God in truth. And the enemy will have no place in you. He will not be able to destroy you because you have the spirit from inside out. All right? We've gone through 15 years or 12 years, what it was, of dryness. Now we are in the light. We are in the fire of God. And God is penetrating our very soul with his being. And it's time that we go forth rejoicing in the Lord and do the great and mighty works he's calling us forth to do. Historians tell us that John's penetrating, uncompromising ministry led nearly 1 million people to repentance. Historians tell us that John's penetrating, uncompromising ministry led nearly 1 million people to repentance. Vast multitudes left their cities and towns and went into the wilderness to hear the prophet and be baptized into repentance in preparation for the kingdom of God. Where's our influence? Why aren't people beating down our doors, in our homes, in our churches, wanting to hear the prophet and repenting and being baptized? There's no power in the church. There's no holiness in the church. I'm not saying everybody's not holy. I'm saying as at large, there is no holiness in the church. There's no power in the church. God is using this church, trying to raise up people of holiness, people with power and authority that he can use in this end time hour. Only Jesus knew the fallen condition of the human heart more perfectly than John. No class of people escaped the Baptist judgment. Soldiers and kings, sinners and religious leaders alike were all brought into the valley of decision. John's baptism was more than a simple immersion in water. He required a public confession of sins as well as a bringing forth of righteousness. He just didn't dunk you in the water and say, go on your way. He made you repent for your sins. And then he dunked you in the water. Everybody said, I want to get baptized. And they line up at a baptismal pool and just get dunked and go on your way. You just got wet. Right? You just got wet. There was nothing changed about you. You just got wet. I've been baptized. People say, oh, I've been baptized about 10 times. Well, you're still acting the same, so you didn't get in the right water yet. Amen? Come on. Let's get serious with God tonight, because do you want to be used by God in this dispensation? Do you want to be a glory carry when he drops his glory in the summer? Then you need to get it together. We need to get it right. So it says, only Jesus knew the fallen condition of the human heart more perfectly than John. Only Jesus. The other people didn't know. They just knew there was a wild man eating locusts and honey and in camel clothes in the mountain somewhere at a waterfall. And they wanted to run out there and see what was going on. And when they did, he said, repent. Wouldn't it be exciting if a bright light shone over your home and everybody come to your home to see what this bright light was? And when you open the door, you say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And they'd fall on their faces repenting. Look, Pastor, watch her tie her down. She's getting ready to get excited again. Come on. Come on, guys. Matthew 3:6. "And were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance.'" Here the people were coming to get baptized, and he's calling them a brood of vipers. You know, he's not saying, "Oh, I'm so glad you guys decided to come and get dipped." He said, "You brood of vipers, who told you to come and do this?" Are you saying, and we want to be nice. You know, talk softly. You know, and that's not going to do any good. You guys have got to understand. That doesn't, I know, 30 years of preaching, it doesn't do any good. So it's time now we become the second John the Baptist. It's time that we scream, "Repent." It's time we say, "Get out of your sin and walk in holiness." Amen? I've lost my place. Matthew 11. Jesus testified that John was more than a prophet. "But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'" You know, when I first came on the scene, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know I was a prophet. I just knew I started talking to people, telling them what was going on in their lives. And I just knew all the pastors were having me to their churches. But all of a sudden, I started being shunned. And I went home crying one day, and God said, "Daughter, I want you to open up your Bible." When he had me open up to this scripture, he said, "This is you. This is you." So what does it say? "But what did you go out to see? A prophet?" And that's what they were coming to see, a prophet. "I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" See, God said, you are the second John the Baptist generation. Daughter, you're the second John the Baptist, and you have to prepare the way from the second coming of my son. You're the same thing. You are the second John the Baptist. If you're a prophet, you're more than a prophet. Are you understanding this? Today I was sitting and I said, "God, I know you want to say something. Say it. I'm listening." So he started talking to me. He said, "Daughter, what do you say? Eat the book. Eat the book of knowledge and come and follow me." And so I said, "Eat the book of knowledge," because I know in the Bible it told Adam and Eve, "Don't eat that." And so when I read that, then I called Brother Chris. I said, "This is what God just told me." He said, Pastor Barbara, that's wonderful. God just did something great for you. He said, when you eat the book, the Bible says when you eat the book of knowledge, you will know the good and evil. So God has to prepare us to know good and evil. He's calling all of us. Well, no, he called me today to do that. But he might call you to eat the book of knowledge so that you know good and evil. He said, among those born of women, has not risen anyone greater than John. John was a seer prophet, which meant he had open vision into the spirit realm. Are you listening? And God has called forth many seers at this, S-E-E-R-S, at this given time. All right. He testified that I saw the spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And then John 1:32 says, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. It remained upon Jesus. It did not disappear. How many of us think we're filled with the Spirit and we're not? If you're filled with the Spirit, you're just flat filled with the Spirit. He doesn't come and go. Not unless you get into sin and then you grieve the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will leave you. He will. But the Holy Spirit remained upon Jesus. John saw the wrath to come in Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John witnessed the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 3:2, and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" God allowed John to see these things. And John was so full of the knowledge of the kingdom of God that he could go out there and he could go out there with boldness. God said, and I'm hearing God say, in surety of heart, that what he was doing was totally from the Lord himself. Now, God has told us he's given us a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel, and we need to go forth and confront the enemy at every turn and don't back down. Now, I'm going to use Astrid again as an example because she's a brand new Christian in Christ, or born again, spirit-filled, and she's going out there with boldness, and she just does. And see, some of you older Christians, a month or two old, or maybe a year, you sort of think, should I really do this? See, your flesh goes with you. And you know, the Bible says be instant in season and out of season. That means at any given second, God can use you. You don't ask him, can't do that right now, Lord. You don't do none of that. You just let God use you when he wants to use you. But I said to Astrid, get up here and minister to these people. She got up, and I said to this one, and she just did everybody. You know, she just started moving down the line and did everybody, which was fine. See, this is what God wants. He wants people so full of the Spirit. And see, she did it. There's a difference. She did it under the anointing. There's other people who get up and do it out of their flesh, thinking they're under the anointing, and they're not. She did it. She does what she does under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So each one of us have to understand that everything we do has to be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything in the flesh because our flesh profits us nothing, does it? I see too many pastors, too many evangelists, too many whatever, doing things out of their flesh, and it gets nothing accomplished. And I don't know about you, but guys, but I'm sick and tired of coming into this church, seeing the power of God move, and still seeing the old guys still where they used to be, not changed. What's going on here? What is it in your life that will not let you get past that barrier? Why can't you go ahead and let God use you mightily the way he desires to? If you can't find that, forget about it. I'll get it for the next service. I read it to you today, did I not? And it was out of the Bible on the computer. I'm hearing God say there's no time like the present to get yourself prepared for this great and mighty move that he's bringing across this land. No time like the present. Tomorrow, he's saying, might be too late. 2 weeks down the road might be too late. He's told me the other day, I'm going to do things, and I'm not even going to reveal to my prophet when I'm going to do it. I'm going to tell him it's going to happen, but I'm not going to tell him when it's going to happen, because they'll try to pray it away. And I don't want it prayed away. And I'm hearing to say the landscape around about you will be different. And when he tells you that, everything in your life is going to be different. And it's going to seem to you like you've even lost your head at times. But you haven't really lost your head. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing. You haven't really lost your head. God's just taking you deeper into the spirit realm so you can see as he sees and so you can minister as he ministers in the supernatural. We are headed for one of the greatest moves that the church has ever seen. I just even read that today. I said, thank God somebody else is saying it too. But the church is not ready, even as long as God has been talking to us, the church is not ready to receive the glory yet. Come on. I don't even know where I'm at, Nancy. Nancy. Okay, John witnessed the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 3:2, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, the reason why we can't go out and boldly preach repent is because we have not seen into the heavenly realm. We have not seen the kingdom of heaven. We have not seen what God wants us to see. He wants us to see supernaturally. And God is saying many will be punished because they would not move into the supernatural. I never heard him say that before. He said, I've been aligning my people for years now to get in line for this glory drop, but they will not allow me to line them up so I can drop. If you're an old Christian, you might be a little bit scary right now. We need to fear the Lord. We need the true fear of the Lord. We need to have the fear of the Lord, but we're not going to play around with the things of God. It really upsets me when I see people prophesying out of their own flesh. You do not have the fear of God in you, and you are playing around with the anointing of God, and God's going to strike you for that. You know, and it makes me upset when I see people get out there and minister when they're not right. You're fooling with God. You're mocking Him. And you need to stop that. God, John had insight into the secrets of men's hearts. See this? John had insight into the secrets of men's hearts. Why do you think when you do deliverance, you know what's going on in the heart? God's showing you that. That's God's spirit in you, showing you these things. And seers, you know, S-E-E-R-S, seers need to understand the importance of that calling that God has placed upon your life. He's going to hold you accountable for every time you didn't go into the house of God. He's going to hold you accountable whenever you are not doing what He's telling you to do, and you're not yielding your members to Him. He's going to hold you accountable for that. I know because He told me so. He said, my body does not understand what they're doing. They're playing around with my anointing. They're playing around with the giftings. And He's not pleased with that. His vision penetrated the surface of the well-respected Pharisees. Within their souls, He saw a brood of vipers. You know, guys, I know we have a pastor sitting here, I don't know who else is, but you know, when people come into your church, you're going to have to be able to see into their heart. Because, you know, people can be nice and smooth on the outside. You ever have a man woo you? And he's so smooth on the outside, but inside he's nothing but a brood of vipers. This is the type of people that's coming into the house of God. They're going to act and talk like they're all godly, but inside they're wretched and undone. And you're going to have to know that. You're going to have to see that. The prayer line this morning, I could have smacked some people. And I'm being honest. You know, they're standing with a religious spirit all around about them, acting all pious. You know, and I'm prophesying to him, and look up, and they're standing there grinning at me, and I'm thinking, what are you doing? And God said, get rid of your religious spirit, because spirit is calling to spirit. And yet they think they can go out there and preach the word of God, and they can't even take a prophetic word from a prophet without smiling and sneering. Come on, something's wrong somewhere. Let God open your eyes and let him show you what's truly in the heart. I'm really not upset. I'm excited. I was so excited to come down the car. I just wanted to start singing and jumping in my seat. I didn't. But, you know, this is God. This is important. I just wanted us to sing and dance all night. You know, I was really enjoying the song service. Amen. All right. I said, his vision penetrated the surface of the well-respected Pharisees. You know, well-respected. Within their souls, he saw a brood of vipers. Understand this about prophets. They are aware of things that are hidden from other men. Understand this about prophets. They are aware of things that are hidden from other men. You know, you can have somebody come up to you and say, oh, Pastor, I just love you, you know, and they're being so smooth and so cute to you, and all the time God's just telling you everything that's in their heart. And you're standing there smiling. You're just acting like everything's normal. But you'd like to reach up and smack them a good one. You know, wouldn't you? Come on. I'm just being honest. I've been 30 years at this. And I know people have been there longer. And I'm nearly tired of the church acting like there's something they are not. Aren't you? Well, some of you, I guess, aren't. Just wait till you've been doing it 30 years, and just wait till you have to go through all the pitfalls that I had to go through, and then you'll say, I'm going to slap you really good if you don't straighten up, right? You know, I just love Sister Nancy. She's my sidekick, you know. And, you know, and I just think she's just running so smoothly, and all of a sudden she called me, she says, well, I had to get another deliverance. I said, what? You know, I'm thinking she's all done with, you know, and everything, you know, everything's all smooth. And yep, she said, God told me I had to get another deliverance, so I got another deliverance. That doesn't change my attitude toward her. I still love her, but, you know, I'm thinking she's just up there in heaven somewhere, you know, walking with the angels. And she's still having problems. Are you understanding this? So anyhow, when you eat from the tree of knowledge, when she calls and said that, I was saying, really? Because I've already known it. And she said one time, I know when you believe and when you don't, because you'll say, oh, really? Come on. See, I can do that with her because she doesn't care. She's like me. She's sick and tired of people playing church. But when Jesus came to be baptized before the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended, John saw something that was overwhelming even to his standard of righteousness. He gazed on Jesus' heart and he saw no sins, no lies, and no lust. John saw a level of holiness that, without knowing he was gazing at the Messiah, caused him to utter with astonishment, I have need to be baptized by you. Matthew 3:14. And John tried to prevent Jesus saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and you are you coming to me? Who was it? He was trying to wash the disciples' feet, right? Jesus was. And was it Peter said, no, let me wash your feet? You know, big old Peter, you know, he's always up shooting his mouth off, you know. You know, it's really humbling when God speaks to you and tells you, I'm bringing the alabaster box to you. When God told me that night, I just sat and wept and I wept and I wept. God loved me that much that he brought the alabaster box to me. Are you understanding this, guys? Do you know that God will do the very same thing to you? I've had God do wonderful things to me, and he'll do this very same thing to you if you'll just walk in holiness and purity of heart. He will. And right now, Satan's trying to tear you apart. He's trying to tear you down. He's coming at you with everything he has. And God said this was going to happen, that Satan was coming after his saints with everything he had in hell, all of his weapons. And he is. Pride's one of the biggest ones. Pride is one of the biggest weapons that Satan has. He'll get you with that pride every time. Without spot or blemish. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was without spot or blemish. Don't you wish you were without spot or blemish? Don't you wish you were so pure and holy like Jesus was? That is possible, you know. Everybody said, well, you know, Jesus was God, so get out of here. He was man. And he was tempted in every way we were, but he never gave in to any temptations. Well, that's because he was so highly anointed. Well, why don't you get highly anointed? That is possible, you know. We can become just as highly anointed as Jesus was because God said we're just like Jesus. If you can't do that, how are you going to do the greater works than Jesus did? If you believe you can't be anointed like Jesus did, then you must have stopped the show because you're never going to go into any greater works. Come on. You know, the enemy has come at us and made us beat us down and made us believe we're absolutely nothing to the point you actually believe that. Quit believing that. You're a child of the Most High God. And God's saying you're supposed to be a living example of Jesus, his son. And you're not supposed to give in to every wind and doctrine. The glory is here. I don't know if you know it, but I can't already see you guys. Come on. God's glory is in this building. How many of you can really feel it? How many of you know it's here? See, and if you can't know this is here, what are you going to do when the real glory, is the glory drop? What's it going to do to you? And I'm not condemning. I'm really not. You know, God's just using me this way tonight. And I knew he was going to be a little bit this way. Maybe that's why he got me happy coming to church. So where am I at? John 1:36. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This is exactly what the prophet beheld in Jesus, spotless purity of heart. You know, whenever Mary and John's mother met, both babies leaped into mother's wombs, right? Spirit witnessed the spirit, didn't it? Christ's virtue took Jesus' breath away. I'm sorry, Christ's virtue took John's breath away. Wouldn't it be nice if your virtue took our breath away? Wouldn't it be wonderful to live around a bunch of Christians like that? We walked in the room and we were so holy we just couldn't breathe. Pass out, you know, because of the holiness in the room. Don't you think that'd be wonderful? That's better than what we walk into now, isn't it? Come on. You're sitting in your seat and you're so happy and all of a sudden the anointing's all gone. Right away you know somebody's sinning in the house, S-I-N-I, in the house of God. They have the audacity to bring their lust and their perversions and whatever else, their anger, you know, backbiting into the house of God and destroy the anointing. You'd like to get up and just do something. I was so enjoying myself until you did all that junk. Isn't that what you think? That's what I think. I'm not going to put that on you. That's how I think. See, now, if you were walking in holiness and purity of heart, you would feel that when it happens in the house of God. You would know when sin enters the door. And my problem has been, it's getting better, though, because God's anointing is getting stronger and stronger. I said, one person walking in the house of God should not destroy the anointing, but it did. It constantly destroyed the anointing, but finally it isn't. But it does mess me up, and I like to get up and pop you a good one. Amen? Christ's virtue took John's breath away. The powerful release of Christ's inner purity made John immediately aware of his own need. See, I'm going to tell you something, the secret, little guys. Once you get truly saved, once you get truly born again, and once you truly fall in love with God, you will know that you have a need. You will know there's something inside of you that God needs to take care of. Come on. Like I told you, the enemy's really been fighting me for the last couple of weeks, and I've just been saying, God, purify me. Purify me, Lord, so that these things can't come and attack me like this. Make me like your son, Jesus, so that when the enemy comes, he finds nothing in me. And he has no place in me. He can't do these things to me. Are you understanding this? If we were just like Jesus, as holy as he was, when the enemy comes, he'd find no place in you, and he'd have to turn around and leave. Simple, isn't it? Not complicated, is it? We try to make it say, oh, the Bible's too... No, it's not. You want to make it that way so that if you don't understand something, then you don't have to change. Satan found nothing in Jesus, so he couldn't touch him. Come on. Now, I know we all went through the Job experience, so let's just get off of this kick, all right? I'm still going through the... No, you're not either. Get out of here. God told me whenever I was going through it, and he told me the body of Christ is going through it, and he told me when I was finished with it, he told me when the body of Christ was finished with it. So your Job experience is over now. So quit wallowing in the pigsty and get out of it and go ahead and be the holy vessel of honor that God can work through. And let's just go ahead and build God's church, his tabernacle, like he said this morning. And let's just get the job done quickly. Now, wouldn't you rather that we had such glory in here that when you walked in here, you would be part of the service? Because there'd be so many people pulling in off the street that the people that normally come couldn't do it all. And so God would have to use you guys as you came in. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You wouldn't sit here looking at me just spout my mouth off. You'd be out here laying hands on the sick, you know, and pulling them in off the streets, going out in the street and laying hands on them. That the power of God would be so strong in you. And this is where, how are we going to do street ministry if we have no anointing? You know, I'm going to tell this story again, but, you know, there was somebody with us, and they thought, you know, I thought we could really sing. I still think we can sing. I didn't know they were professional singers. They never told me that. Okay. I didn't know this. The drummer, he was a professional drummer. He had his own band. And I told him, come on now, I want you to play the drums. It's not really hard to play the drums. If you just sit down there, I'll put my hands on you and God will know you. You'll be able to play them drums. He played right along with me. I said, come on, you can sing. You can really sing. Just let the anointing hit you. You can sing. And we went to the mall. I said, we're going to go to the mall. He always says she'd come and have us go in some of the strangest places. And he was so embarrassed that we were going to go to the mall. And we couldn't sing. But we went to that mall. People just drug their chairs out. And that whole mall area was filled up where we were singing. Was it you or one of your other sisters pulled her dress up or down or something? Was it you? Your sister pulled her dress up, was trying to undress herself up there. But they were out there just singing, and you know, and people were out there and just enjoying it and getting saved. Why? Because it was the anointing that destroyed yoke. We didn't have to sing like professionals. Because they weren't coming to see professionals. They were coming, and it was the anointing of God that made them bring their chairs out. And the man had to repent. Because God said, it's my anointing that destroys the yoke. Amen? Come on. I don't care how well you can sing. I don't care how well you can talk. I don't care how much you know. You're not as good as I am because I have the anointing. See, that should be your attitude. You can stand in front of me and act all pious as much as you want to, but you don't have the anointing, but I do. And because I have the anointing, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. See, and I used to do all things, but I never realized why. That I was really dumb when I got born again. I really was. And God was using me, and I didn't even know what he was even doing. But see, I'm telling you also, you know what God's doing with you. I think it was better when I was walking around dumb. Because I wasn't expecting anything, you know. I just went, and God just did. So I think the more you know, the less powerful you are. I do. Because God says, come to me as little children. And when you come to him as a little child, you're not out there trying to do anything. You know? And you don't know how good I feel because now when I get to preach, I'm now preaching under the anointing again and I'm not trying to preach. Amen? Oh, you just don't know what I'm saying. You really don't. You hear, but you really don't know what I'm saying until you walk in it. And until it happens to you. Until God drowns you. And then he starts using you mightily again. Well, starts using you. I don't know if he has before or not. You just don't understand how the glory is going to change everything. The glory is going to come. You won't have to do anything like we did before. We won't have to do anything because God will do it all. And Astrid won't have to drop on her knees and say, God, I'm on my knees. Heal this person. She won't have to do that. Because God will just do it. Come on. We won't have to yank people out of wheelchairs or walk out of their wheelchairs on their own. When the anointing is there, I'm hearing God say, when anointing is ripe, all things happen. Come on. Lost my place again. All right, we said Christ's virtue took John's breath away, right? The powerful release of Christ's inner purity made John immediately aware of his own need. When John saw Jesus, he discovered a level of righteousness that was higher and purer than his own. Don't you think that's what the body of Christ needs? Because, you know, we really do think we're all right. But when we see God, Jesus, for who he truly is, we know we're undone. Are you understanding this? This great prophet looked into the heart of Jesus, and in the brightness of Christ's holiness, he cried, I have need. And so it is with us. Each time we see Jesus, each successive revelation of Christ's purity makes our need more apparent. As Christ's holiness unfolds before us, we cannot but echo the same cry of John the Baptist, I have need to be baptized by you. When Isaiah had an encounter with the Most High God, he cried in Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his throne, a train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. I don't know about you, but when I first read this scripture, when I was first born again, I was in my study studying. And I just fell to my knees and I started crying. And I said, God, I'm so unclean. Now, I might not have done the big sins that the world does, but I still was unclean. I hadn't yet been purified by the Most High God. I had not had the hot coals touch my lips yet. And when God came down to visit me that night, he opened up the heavens and I saw my angel standing there. And God said, he'll keep you safe every day of your life. He said, you're my daughter and I'm going to use you for my kingdom. And God started using me. I'm going to tell you, saints, until you have a confrontation, I'm just hearing this, until you have a confrontation with the Most High God, you won't be changed. You have to have that visitation. You have to have inside of you that deep hunger and longing to be everything that God wants you to be. And you don't only have the deep hunger and longing, but you just don't want to do the things that the world does. You don't want to be part of the world any longer because you know that God has set you apart for his kingdom, for his use. And you can't mix the world and God. That just does not work. And I'm asking you tonight to reevaluate yourself. I know that we walk the way we're supposed to walk, but still in all, if you reevaluate yourself, you'll find in you things that God does not like. When you're really honest with yourself and with God, He will reveal to you really the dark side in your heart. And we all have one. And then when He shows you that dark side and you give it to Him, He'll take it away. He will cleanse you and He will renew you. And He'll make you one of His own. You'll be special in His eyes. All right? Yet in the beginning of our walk, we embrace life in our own strength, trusting in our own skills for success and attainment. Granted, we turn to God, but mainly in times of grief or trial. You know, that's the only time we ever turn to God is when we're hurting, right? Or something's going wrong. However, as the Lord brings us into maturity, what we once considered strengths are actually discovered to be weaknesses. Our pride and self-confidence keep us from God's help. The clamor of our many ideas and desires drown the whisper of the still small voice of God. God speaks to his beloved with a still small voice. He doesn't shout, he doesn't scream, but he doesn't have to because your ears are so in tune to hear his voice that you hear every whisper. You hear every heartbeat of God. You know when he's happy, you know when he's sad. You definitely know when he's angry because you're so totally and completely out to God that nothing else matters. In God's eyes, the best of human successes are still wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. As self-righteousness crumbles, in time we discover that all true strength, all true effectiveness, and our very holiness itself begins with discovering our need. We grow weaker, less confident in our abilities. As the outer shell of self-righteousness crumbles, Jesus himself becomes God's answer to every man who cries for holiness and power in his walk. I'll never forget the day I was walking the aisle right there where Brother Allen's sitting. And God said to me, daughter, be careful lest when you preach to others, you yourself may fall. I mean, that shocked me to the core of my being because I just knew I was on the road to heaven. And I knew I had a seat in heaven and nothing in this world could take it away from me. And I went home that night and got on my face and cried out before God. And he said, daughter, you have to work out your salvation every day. He said, nobody has a secure seat in the heavenly realm. They have to walk it out every day. So once saved, always saved is a lie from the pits of hell. And the Word of God tells you that you have to walk out your salvation daily. But man has perverted the Word, and they have not told the truth. And so many sitting in the house of God think they have a seat in heaven, and they do not. God wants to use each one of you in here tonight to take the truth to the world, to the church, to let them know the truth of God's Word. We may think we have spiritual gifts. We may presume we are holy. We may rejoice with human successes. But until we seek Christ and abandon our reliance upon our self-righteousness, all we will ever have, at least, at best, is religion. And I don't know about you, Pastor, but there's so many religious people sitting in the house of God. And you pray for them. You can't get through to them. You feel that wall when you hit it. And you tell them, you know, you've got to get rid of that religious spirit. Well, they just think, you just think that you've got a gun and shot your head off. And all you're trying to do is save their life, not take their life. Amen. You know, when we go to heaven, God's not going to say, what religion are you? He's going to meet you at the pearly gates and said, your spirit doesn't witness to my spirit. Depart from you, worker iniquity. I don't know you. He doesn't care what you call yourself. Are you a true child of God? Are you really walking in holiness and humbleness before a true, holy and humble God? That's what what did that one person say that went to heaven? God said to them, God said the first question he's going to ask you is, did you learn to love? Did you learn? That's what he's going to ask you. So if you have bitterness and hatred towards another, don't bother going to the pearly gate. Just say, well, just take me down to the other elevator, Lord. Because he's going to ask you, have you learned to love? He's made a way for you to learn how to love. He's made a way for you to escape from all your junk that you have in you of unforgiveness and bitterness. He's made a way. Why do you think he's brought deliverance on the scene? He's made a way for all those, whatever you call them, to be taken out of you. He's made a way. But have you made use of what he's done? That's what you have to ask yourself. Tonight we need to grasp this truth with both hands and never let it slip from us. Jesus himself is our source of holiness. We are so eager to do something for him, anything, as long as we do not have to change inside. Read that again. We are so eager to do something for him, anything, as long as we do not have to change inside. How many people tell you, I'm not going to go to church because there's too many no's? They don't want God to tell them what to do. They want to stay the way they are and still go to heaven. That does not work. God does not need what we can do. He wants what we are. God does not need what we can do. He wants what we are. And I'm telling you the honest truth. I never knew why God called me up in church because I couldn't do nothing. And see, God knew that, so he just took me as I was and he just started to use me. Amen. Come on, dumb and ignorant, college educated in the world, but not in Christ. You don't have to go to Bible school. The Holy Spirit teaches you all things that you have need of. Save your money. Read your word. Just ask the Holy Spirit to come in and change you, show you the truth. And when he shows you the truth, say, God, take it. I don't need it. It's killing me. God wants to make us a holy people. Let us not be anxious in this process. God wants to make us a holy people. Let us not be anxious in this process. Allow him to do the deep inner work of preparation. Jesus lived 30 years of sinless purity before he did one work of power. Jesus lived 30 years of sinless purity before he did one work of power. His goal was not to do some great work, but to please the Father with a holy life. If you want to be seen because great signs and wonders follow you, forget it. Jesus' goal was not to do some great work, but to please the Father with a holy life. We need to understand that our goal is not to become powerful, but to become holy with Christ's presence. God promises to empower that which he first makes holy. You have to become holy if you want the power of God to work through you. It doesn't matter what happened to you down the road. It doesn't. God took care of all that. That you don't have to live in sin because somebody abused you when you was 2 years old. You can go in the power of God and get yourself set free, and you can live a sinless life. I'm hearing God say, if you would just abandon all those thoughts of what used to be and trust him for what is to come, you will find yourself working on holiness and purity instead of allowing the enemy to constantly keep you in your mind in a state of turmoil, constantly thinking about what people did to you and after all I deserve and after all this now. Come on, we don't deserve nothing. I said to God 2 days ago, I said, you know, God, I'm not even worthy to preach your word. He said, yes, you are. Yes, you are. He said, you live in hell itself. And I know your heart. And I know what you're going through. He said, yes, you are worthy. But how many of you don't feel worthy sometimes? How many of you don't feel worthy when you know you've done something, you said something you shouldn't say? You let the enemy egg you on until finally you just said, you reacted with words that you shouldn't have said. I didn't used to do that. I could used to be able to keep my mouth shut, but anymore it seems like I got to open my mouth. And God doesn't want me to do that. I preached it, and here I am doing the opposite of what I preached. God doesn't want us to retaliate because he said that he would vindicate us. It's better to get up and walk out of a room than get in a mess with God. Are you understanding this? Do you want your Christianity to work? Then seek Jesus himself as your source and standard of holiness. You need, don't worry about what I do or somebody else does. Seek Jesus himself for his standard of holiness. Do you want to see the power of God in your life? Then seek to know Christ's purity of heart. If we are becoming the people Jesus calls his own, we should be growing in holiness. A mature Christian will be both holy and powerful. Did you hear what I said? A mature Christian will be both holy and powerful. That holiness will precede power. I see so many people walk through these doors, and God said we would always have a swinging door church. But I see people walking here, and I minister to them, and I find out they're preaching to some church. I said, what? Is everybody in the church blind? Is everybody walking in the same sack that they're walking in? Don't they understand that you're having somebody preach that isn't even walking in righteousness, let alone holiness? And you sit under that. That spirit's going into you. Why would you want to do that? I'm here and saying, God said, get out of here. Let me open your eyes and let me show you what the people are all about. God's going to uncover it, you know. It's better that you fall on a rock than a rock fall on you, is what the word says. I'm hearing God said, you've been preached at to you're blue in the face. I'm not talking just you. I'm just talking to everybody. You've been preached at to you're blue in the face and you still haven't changed. What do I have to do next? Ask yourself, what does God have to do to me next? Does he have to put you in a sick bed? I know people that God's going to throw into a sick bed because they refuse to change. You guys that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to be able to hear God's voice. You need to hear it with such clarity that you know that you know that you know that you know that it's God speaking through to you. Because if you don't, the enemy's going to come in and deceive you. And God told me 2 years ago, deception has entered the house of God. And he said, my people are being deceived. Just because it's a big name doesn't mean it's God. Do you hear this, ladies? Come on. It's mostly ladies in here, and you men too. Oh, so-and-so is coming into town. Well, so be it. Is so-and-so holy? Are they righteous? Ask God. Ask God about it. He'll tell you. You know, how many of you, like when Jimmy Swagger fell, how many of you asked God about that? You know, God said to me, he said, daughter, never talk about this man because I'm going to bring him back. You know, whenever he threw his Bible on the floor and stomped up and was talking about prostitutes, the Holy Spirit said to me, he's into that. I said, get out of here, devil. You know? And when a month later it was revealed he was into that. I mean, this was a holy man of God. But Satan got in there somehow or other and messed him up, but now he's come back. Same way with Jim Baker. God said, that's my man, and don't you ever talk about him because he's going to come back and be greater than he was before. And he has. Do you ever ask God anything? Do you ever go before him and ask him about things that are, that, you know, when they happen, what is it, Lord, and how should I react to this? Did you ask him who you should vote for when everybody voted for the wrong person? Well, everybody didn't, but most people did. And God said to me, he said, daughter, this is who I want you to vote for, but this is who's going to win because they want a king. I'm going to give them a king. They don't want me no more. America does not want me. I'm going to give them a king and see what the king does for them. Did you really pray? Do you really pray? Do you really seek God's face? Do you really want to hear the truth? Or are you very happy being dumbfounded by the enemy? I guess I'm going to write a book about the things that God has shown me. I just wish that everybody in the house, especially pastors, evangelists, would really be able to sit before God and hear his voice. You know, I'm going to tell prophets and evangelists and pastors something else too. If a person comes to you and wants prayer about something and you don't hear God's voice for them, it's because they have not done what God told them to do to begin with, and he's not going to say another word to them about the situation. So don't you feel like there's something wrong with you and you haven't heard God. It's they have not done what God has told them to do. All right? I don't know how many times I felt guilty. I said, God, why couldn't I hear your voice? And then finally he said, daughter, do you not understand the logic here? And then he explained it to me. Now I know when I don't hear God's voice, because you don't really want to hear what he has to say. If you did, you would have moved when he told you to move. You don't do whatever he told you to do. Come on. I'm hearing God say, some of you in here are playing around with sin that's going to kill you. You're playing with sin that's going to kill you. Come on. Need to stop. You just need to stop. You can do that. I used to say about an addict could stop their addiction, but I know they can't now. But you can stop sinning. You really can stop sinning. Just tell your flesh to shut up and go away. Do you know that God's told me that some people have sold their eyes to Satan? So if you're a goggler, you know, somebody always gawks at men or women, you really have a problem. You really need delivered from because you sold your eyes to Satan years ago. See, and that's a different situation. That's the kind of stuff that you need to go and get delivered from. Amen. I know there's some of you in here, you're walking a holy life. You're doing everything God's called you for to do. And so that shoe didn't fit you tonight, so don't put it on. And don't go home complaining about me. If your feet are hurting, then there's something in you that needs to change. It's just that simple. I always say, my father always told me, Barbie, if the shoe fits, put it on. If it doesn't, don't even look at the shoe. In other words, if somebody's saying something and about you and it's not right, don't worry about it. It'll all clear itself up. I'm hearing God say, the roof is about to cave in on the body of Christ. Those who are living in sin will be no more. But those who are walking in holiness, He's going to put an anointing upon you that will destroy every yoke of the enemy. Now, he's asking you this question. Do you want the power and the authority that comes with holiness? And if you're walking in holiness and you want that power, if you come up, God's going to give you that power. He said he's going to bestow upon you a blessing that you will not really be able to contain. And that blessing is an anointing that will destroy every yoke. That blessing is an anointing that will open up your eyes and you will see constantly in the spirit realm. And you will not ever be deceived again.